Way
this week. I actually texted Don this morning. He said it's rough. He said it's like 45 in the morning, but sunny and 70 by noon. So kind of feel bad for him. He has to tough it out there in Sacramento like that. But it's all right because it gives me a chance to share something that God put on my heart. So for all of you that braved the snow this morning, all half an inch of it, thank you. For those of you who didn't, you can listen to me online later, right? So it is always a pleasure to share when God lays something on our hearts. So you can see by your bulletin, we're going to be in the book of Jonah today, but I'll get to that here in a minute. But when I think of, and this, you may see the correlation later, you probably won't get it right now, but I want to share some thoughts today about what it means to serve and sacrifice for God. And whenever I think of serving and sacrifice, I think because of my past military service, I always kind of go back to that. But if you think of the military, or if you think of policemen or firefighters or any of those type of professions, they serve and sacrifice at times. In the military, it was duty and honor and loyalty and all of those things. When I was in the Marines, and you may have heard this term, the band of brothers, we were a brotherhood, we were a unit, we were called to serve together. And sometimes that involves sacrifice. And when I look around the room, I see a band of brothers. We are the remnant, as Don says. We are serving and sacrifice and doing ministry together. And I think when I think of the message that God put on my heart today, I think it's important that we remember that as believers, we are called to those same standards. We are called to honor God, to serve God, and sometimes the sacrifice of ourselves for God. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to do that through Jonah, which you may be thinking that's kind of an odd thing, but it'll work out. But first I want to talk about our Christian walk. This is something God threw in a couple days ago that wasn't in my original notes. But if you think of the term Christian walk, it entails movement. It entails doing something. Right now, I'm walking, right? It's an action word. You may have heard this concept before. I know Don has preached about moving forward. Forward is a forward movement. I'm walking, not that way. I'm going to just walk right here. You get the idea. But it's an action word. Now, two things you're going to see in the story of Jonah. You can choose to walk toward God, forward, or you can choose to walk away from God. We have that choice as believers. When called, we can say, okay, and move forward, or we can say, no way, and walk away, right? But there's another category. Okay. Right now, I'm a Christian sitter. God may have called me, and I'm not going to walk toward Him, but I'm not walking away from Him either. And sometimes we think that's okay. Well, that's not okay. Not doing what God tells you is disobedience. If God calls you to move forward, you need to move forward. This is just as bad as moving away from Him. Either one is disobedience. Either one's not fulfilling the call. Sometimes we justify this with the, well, not right now. Maybe that's for me to do later, or maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I need to wait till God says that again. Sometimes we justify our sitting. Sometimes it's easier just to say no, God, and go the other way. But sometimes we justify it by just sitting and waiting. Maybe I didn't hear Him right, all those kind of things. So we're going to see a little bit of all of that today as we talk about Jonah. I know in my life there are times I've felt like Jonah. There are times where, especially early in my walk when I wasn't I wasn't really in tune with God's voice and God's ways as much as I am now. Not that I'm there yet, because I still don't get it right all the time. But I remember early on when God would give me something or tell me something, I would like, are you talking to me? Because I didn't really, you know, get it. So there's been times where I felt like Jonah, where I don't really want to do that, God. How about I just go do something else? Or maybe I'll just sit here a while and see if you repeat it. And I know now in my walk today, God challenges me, and I don't always think it's time to move forward. And I know you guys have probably all had similar experiences in your walk. And it's important that we learn to recognize God's voice and then follow that lead. I know back in December when Pastor Phil Capuccio were here, he had a word for me from the Lord. And I pray and read that word almost daily because I think, are you talking to me, God? Because I don't see me doing those things. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to move forward toward those things, because I believe God has something there. I have to trust and obey and be willing to move forward and walk into that word. Or I can choose to fold that piece of paper up, stick it in my Bible, and just do my own thing. So it's important that if we get those things from God, and if God is talking to us, we need to embrace them. We need to be willing to move forward and walk into that. God also told me that, and he gave me this in over the last couple days also. He said, this message is for someone. Now, that sounds silly because, of course, the message is for someone. He said they may not be in the room, but this message needs to get to that person. So I encourage you, if something I say today sticks in your head and you know somebody, go talk to them. Encourage them, whatever that is, because we all know people that maybe are stuck or maybe God has told them something and they're not acting on it. So our role as believers is sometimes to help people along too. So if you know somebody that's struggling or is stuck and this word sticks with you, I encourage you to go share with them. Okay? So we're going to go to the book of Jonah. So you can turn there. One of the things you'll notice about your insert is that I filled in the blanks. I know some of you like to fill in your own blanks, but I always forget to tell you to do it. So I filled them in for you. Okay? Save some time. So when we look at that outline, you'll see four points that I'm going to hit on today. First, Jonah runs away from God. Then Jonah's going to run toward God. Then he's actually going to run with God. But then he's going to try and run ahead of God. And I'll elaborate on those as we go. But first, some fun facts about Jonah here. Just the name Jonah is significant. A proper name for God's prophets is a dove. It signifies a dove, harmless, indicating harmless like a dove, but also someone that mourns for the sinners or the lost. Okay, so Jonah's name in itself has meaning. Jonah's father's name was Amittai, which means truth. God's prophets are called to be sons of truth. So a son of truth, and he mourns for the lost sinners. Jonah, small town boy. He was from Galilee, which is near Nazareth. So a small town boy. Okay. He's the only prophet likened to Christ. And I'll explain that later. In Matthew 12, there's some scripture that refers to Jonah. He was a prophet called, as far as we know. He did all of his work on foreign soil. He was a prophet to foreign nations. Of course, the main one that we read about is Nineveh. So he never did any work in his own country. He was called to minister elsewhere. Nineveh in itself was a world empire at the time for hundreds of years, is a city of, they say, about 100 to 120,000. So I don't know, in our terms, is that like a Harrisburg or something? I don't know. It's a fairly good-sized city. And most importantly, probably to justify some of his actions, Jonah probably felt that Nineveh was his enemy. And he probably thought, no, I'm not hearing God, right? Because I'm not going to go save them people, because they're our enemy. I'm not going to even go down that road. So Jonah, though, is called, commissioned to go preach repentance to Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to him. Jonah was acquainted with the word of God. He knew God's voice. He was a prophet. So he couldn't fall back on the, oh, I didn't hear you, God, thing, because he knew God's voice. So he made a choice to do what he did. I think that's an important point. We need to also learn to recognize God's voice. Okay, so we're going to get into the book of Jonah here a little bit. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. You can follow along if you like. I'm not going to read all of the book of Jonah because of time, and some of it's not as relevant as others, so I'm going to hit key scriptures. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 right now. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Okay, so Jonah, a prophet, knew God's voice, heard God's voice, and chose to disobey God. Jonah runs away from God. The word is clear. Arise, go to Nineveh. Preach to that city. Now, in Jonah's mind, we can only imagine why he chose not to. There might have been multiple reasons. One, he didn't like the people of Nineveh. Maybe he just said, I'm not going to go do that, because God is merciful. He probably will save them. Maybe he just didn't want to go down that road. Maybe he was thinking, I'm a small town boy. I'm going to go preach to the big city. Nah, not liking that idea either. Maybe he was just fearful for his life. Small town prophet of God, I'm going to go tell the king he's goofing up. He's probably thinking, they're just going to kill me. I'm not going to have any effect. So there could have been multiple reasons that Jonah chose to run away from God's presence. Nineveh was a great city, but wicked, a city of darkness, blatant sin, and also the enemies to Israel. He probably just didn't want to do it. Now, one of the things that is also important here, there were other prophets called to have things to say to other countries. But most of them did it by letter. God would say, hey, tell this to these people, and they'd send them a letter. But Jonah was called to actually go into the city and preach it in person. So it was a pretty weighty task, right? But no matter how big the task, big or small, he was still called to go. He recognized God's voice, knew God's voice, chose to go the other way. I know in my life sometimes, you know, you hear something and God asks you to do something and you say, wow, that's pretty big. I think I'll skip that one. So I can kind of relate to Jonah a little bit sometimes. But it was an honor to be called and used by God. And by not obeying, Jonah dishonored God. He arose, he flees to Tarshish, finds a ship, gets on board, and goes and hides in his cabin. Have you ever run and hid from what God had you to do? Maybe not so much as to catch a boat to some foreign land, but I'm sure there's times in all of our lives where we've heard from God and maybe opted not to do it. Hopefully as we grow and mature in our walk, that happens less frequently, but that's what Jonah Jonah did. He chose to dishonor God, disobedience. He didn't even just say, no, I'm not going, and stay home. He actually ran the other way. Gets aboard a ship and goes and hides in his cabin. Hate to tell you, you can't hide from God. He knows you're in the cabin hiding. He knows you're on the ship sailing the other way. But in Jonah's mind, it really didn't matter. He just wanted to put some distance between himself and God. I don't know how that rationalized in his head, because God is with us all the time. But in his head, he needed to go somewhere, anywhere. So he found a ship, took off, forgot his duty, forgot his call. That would be kind of like when I was in the Marines, if I were called to deploy and I decided, I think I'll go to Canada. Right? You can't do that. It's not acceptable. It's dishonoring. And I would have gotten a dishonorable discharge if I'd have done something like that. So Jonah thinks himself safe and hidden. But we all know, because we've heard the story, God's not quite done with Jonah yet. So I'm going to continue to read. I'm in chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man of them cried out to his God, and threw their cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And then they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." So Jonah had run away from God, but God sent the storm. And the storm is... sometimes we make our own storms. God sent the storm to get Jonah's attention. But the point I want to make here is, because of Jonah's disobedience or sin, he ran away from God. He created this storm. And really what is at risk here is, when I disobey God, I have to also think, who else am I affecting and who else am I putting at risk? Because if God has called us to do something, we're going to have an impact on someone. And when we disobey, when we don't follow God's lead, and that storm comes, that storm affects those around us. In this case, that storm affected everyone on that ship and put everyone at risk. In our lives, that storm can affect our family, our church. All of these things are affected when we're not following God's call and doing what we're called to do. So Jonah put everyone at risk through his disobedience, through his running away. So we have an impact on those around us when we obey or disobey God. This was a great storm. Even the sailors that did this for a living are afraid for their lives. Every man of them prayed to their own gods. Isn't it funny how until we're in the storm, often we don't pray? And I think sometimes we create our own storms by our disobedience. And then we realize we're in over our heads, and then we pray. That's what was going on in this storm. The sailors all prayed to their own gods. Each in their own distress and their own danger, they prayed to their own gods. But what was Jonah doing? Jonah was asleep, hiding in his cabin. And he didn't care what was going on with everybody else. But his actions were impacting everyone else on the ship. But finally, the ship's master comes to him and basically says, "Hey, What are you doing sleeping in the cabin? Get up here and pray to your God. So sometimes we need reproach. We need accountability. Sometimes we need someone to say, hey, wait a minute. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you're hiding in your cabin, but you need to get with it and get moving. Sometimes we need that kick in the pants, as we say. So that's what happened here. So the captain of the ship comes and wakes Jonah up and says, hey, come on, call on your God and let's figure out what's going on. So sometimes we need that reproach. Now, here it gets interesting, because here Jonah tells him what's going on. He says, it's my fault. I ran away from God. And here's what you need to do. Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the storm will stop. Okay? So after much debate, they decide that's what they're going to do. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. This is a little side note. Jonah was being disobedient. God brought the storm, but he also gave him a way out. Now I'm thinking in Jonah's head, he's probably thinking, here's my out. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'll just end it. Throw me into the sea. I'm done. And everything is good. Well, guess what? Didn't work out. Jonah gets thrown in the sea. The Lord stops the storm. Now, this is important, though. The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered sacrifices to the Lord and took vows. This is probably the only revival at sea where they threw the evangelist overboard to start the revival. Right? They didn't need him. But they threw him overboard and the revival started. Who knows the outcome of the people affected on that ship? But it's a good side note that they prayed to God and took vows. So the point is, I don't know why Jonah, he was probably thinking, this is good, I'm done. But the summary of chapter 1 is, you can't hide from God, folks. If God has called you to do something, whether you run toward him immediately or you run the other way or you sit in your pew, God knows where you are and he is not done with you. He is going to pursue you until you do what he has asked you to do. You're not going to get off the hook by going and hiding in your cabin and running the other way. Also, remember, when you're disobedient and dishonoring God, that affects those around you. When you are not doing what you're called, who have you affected? What if I'm called to go talk to somebody about God and I don't, and they get hit by a bus the next day? That's on me because I did not do what God told me to do. I missed that opportunity. I could give you examples, but if I don't do what I'm doing, or if I'm in sin, that affects those around me. That affects the call. That affects what I'm supposed to be doing. And it can have a huge impact. You may think buying a guy a cup of coffee or calling somebody on the phone is a minor thing. But if God's voice is whispering in your ear, call so-and-so, call him. If God's whispering in your ear, hey, that guy in the corner could use a good meal, go buy him a meal. Go buy him a meal. You don't know the impact you have on that person. So whether it's a small cup of coffee or God says, go to Africa and preach the gospel in South Africa, go. Because the impact you have, you will never know until you get to heaven. And I pray that when I get to heaven, God says, well done on that one. You heard me, you did it, and you had an impact. Versus walking away from God and I get to heaven and he says, hey, you know that guy? You missed that one. He went to hell. I don't want that one. So obey the call. God is pursuing. The storms are to get our attention. Okay. All right. So what did Jonah do now? So Jonah gets thrown in the ocean. He's probably thinking, yeah, that takes care of that. I'm going to drown and that'll be the end of that problem. But let's continue the reading here. So we're going to go verse 17 of chapter 1. It says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said." Now what follows the rest of chapter 2 is his prayer of repentance. Jonah finally gets it. So he had been running away from God. Now he's going to run toward God. He's in the belly of the fish. I don't think he had much choice at this matter. But he chooses now to cry out in his affliction. God answers him. He turns back to God. He says he will sacrifice. He will lift his voice in thanksgiving. He will pay the vow. He will do as he's called to do. So Jonah now is running toward God in the belly of the fish, right? Very important that we know that if we cry out to God, even if we've been going the other way, if we turn back and cry out to God, ask for forgiveness, he's going to rescue us. But we need to repent, ask forgiveness, and recommit to that task. Jonah is recommitting. He's like, okay, God, you are my God. I'm calling out to you. God's going to answer. But we are just like Jonah. Jonah probably deserved death, but God spared him because he still had work for him to do. We all deserve death, folks. We're all sinners. We all deserve death, but God sent his son Jesus to save us because he has things for us to do. He doesn't want us just to be hanging out. He has a reason that he saved us, and that's for us to go and save others. So now, after Jonah runs away from God, then he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Now he's going toward God. Now we're going to see in chapter 3, Jonah is now running with God. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Now we're going to skip down to verse 10. "Then God saw their works and that they had turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster he said he would bring." Okay? So Jonah, out of the belly of the whale, God repeats the call, "Arise and go and preach what I tell you." Jonah does that, and the result is that the people of Nineveh believed, and to the least of them repented. Every person in Nineveh, from the king to the least, they all got it. That's huge. That was a huge undertaking. So Jonah first says, "That's too big, I'm not going there," runs away. Belly of the fish brings him back. The second time he does what he's told. Okay? Now, I'm going to add a little side note here. Jonah does what he's told, but remember, in Jonah's mind, he doesn't like these people. He's probably still thinking, "No, I'm going to go do it because you told me." But he's probably thinking, "I don't think they deserve to be saved." So he's going with attitude, right? He went, but he wasn't happy about it. And we're going to see that when we wrap up in a little bit. But God is still good. God is still sovereign. God still had a plan. And the people of Nineveh listened and heard. That generation in Nineveh listened and turned to God, repented, and he relented. God saw their work. Jonah, thinking God's promises, God's favor is for the people of Israel, his chosen people, not for these foreigners. But here's the prelude to Jesus coming, right? Because Jesus came for everybody. So this maybe was one of those precursors, and that's why this passage is mentioned in Matthew later. We'll get to that later too. So Jonah, running with God, goes, does what he's told. God saves Nineveh. God of second chances. You don't have to lose the blessings of God if you get it wrong the first time and you turn back. God is good. He is going to give you another go at it. All right? And I believe he's a God of third, fourth, and fifth chances, because I know in my life I've sometimes taken a couple of tries to get it right. But God relents of the disaster. Nineveh is saved. And Nineveh goes on for, I think, a couple more hundred years, living the good life, so to speak. So what can you and I do? We need to follow the call. We need to rise up. We need to go. Just like when I was in the military, I had to rise up, fulfill the call. I didn't have to always agree with where we were going. I didn't have to know the big picture. We don't have to know the big picture. We don't have to know what God's plans are. We just have to fulfill the call. We have to go and move toward God when he calls. And I can understand that. When I was in the military, and Chris, you may not even know this, but that Persian Gulf tour, I could have gotten out of that when you were pregnant with Tom. I could have stayed home. Just got myself in trouble. But the call to duty was stronger than anything else. I could have pled hardship, and stayed home. But that would have required me sending someone else in my place. And I wasn't willing to do that because the call was that strong. The duty, the honor, the call. And that's how we need to be as Christians. Sometimes we need to sacrifice to fulfill what God's calling us to do. And we just need to do it. Because the reward is far greater for obeying God. And we need to just sometimes make that sacrifice. Jonah didn't understand that. Okay, but now we're going to move on. Chapter 4. So Jonah ran away from God. Then he ran toward God. Then he ran with God and went to Nineveh and did what he was told. And then in chapter 4, I'm going to read just one verse in chapter 4. Verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. I'm not going to read the rest of that. Displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry that God had saved Nineveh. That's running ahead of God, folks. It is not our job to figure out why God does things. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways are better than our ways. All we need to do is go and obey. Jonah couldn't understand why God had relented and not destroyed Nineveh. I think part of it was maybe Jonah didn't want to save his enemies. He didn't, in his own humanness, didn't think that was appropriate. But I think also maybe he didn't want to think it was good for God's reputation that God would save these people. You know, he probably felt that God should focus his attention on his own people. But whatever the reason, Jonah tries to outthink God, outrun ahead of God. And that's just not appropriate. Don't try to outthink God, folks. And don't do God's work with an attitude, because that isn't good either. History tells us that maybe because of this attitude, Jonah never got to return to Israel. He ended up living the rest of his life out in the foreign land that he didn't want to go to start with. Maybe that's because he had an attitude. Maybe that's just the way it turned out. We don't know for sure, but because we don't know much about Jonah after this. But I believe our attitude as we serve certainly does matter. But God can use us either way. But isn't it going to be better if we do it with the right attitude? If we go with God, follow God, and all of that. So we need to walk in step with God because God's timing is far better than ours. Also, just something I wrote in my notes, that I think it's futile to fight with God because what he wants to come about is going to come about one way or the other. But I'd rather be on the side that's doing what God's called me to do than the guy running the other way. A few thoughts as I close. I was reading a book a while back, and the author used a definition for faith, and it kind of resonated with me, stuck with me. And Pastor Don has also used this a little bit in some of his sermons, but it says, faith equals risk, but lack of faith also equals risk. Obedience to God, risky. Disobedience, risky. Where I'm going with that is we have to have faith and trust when we're moving toward God sometimes because we don't always see what's at the end of the road. And that can be risky. That involves sacrifice sometimes. It involves change. It involves giving up things. It involves maybe a sin being exposed. There's a lot of risk sometimes involved in walking toward God. But I think the risk of walking the other way is even more so. A lack of faith or a sitting is opportunities lost. It's blessings maybe not received. It's people not saved. There's so many higher risks to not doing what we're called to do than doing. But faith is risky. Pastor Don's New Year's message, I believe it was, he spoke of a great future from small beginnings. He said, take a risk. Adversity is okay. Do not quit, for with God nothing is impossible. I think Jonah learned some lessons, but I think Jonah did it the hard way, obviously. He could have listened to God and gone toward him to start with, but he chose a different path, and it cost him. Great risk, great peril. He finally got a second chance. He came back. He did what he was told. But the journey is risky. Can be risky. I think in our country we're blessed because our risks are not near as high as if you were a Christian in other countries. But there's still risks. I think we have to, in our minds, determine what risk is acceptable and what's not. But if we're moving toward God, I'm willing to take that risk because God's got me covered. So I hope you are too. But every journey starts with a first step. Don't be a Jonah. Don't take the first step in the wrong direction. If God's calling you, giving you a gift, giving you something to do, move toward God. Take that first step in faith toward God. Risk is okay. As the team comes, I have a final thought. I told you I'd take you to Matthew 12. But the guys can come up and start doing. In Jonah 1, verse 17, it said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. If you turn to Matthew 12, I'll read the corresponding scripture in Matthew that goes with that. In Matthew 12, the scribes and Pharisees are asking for a sign. And this is in verse 38. It says, then some of them, scribes and Pharisees, answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. He gives them an example of Nineveh. That generation of Nineveh heard Jonah's message and repented. These people in Matthew, the scribes and Pharisees, knew of that story that would have been passed down from generation to generation. They would have known of that account. But yet here, the Son of Man is in front of them and they don't get it. My prayer for us is that we get it, that we understand that Jesus came, walked the earth, died, spent 3 days in the grave, and then rose again for this generation, for us. Yes, it was 2,000 years ago, but that still applies to us. Jesus did that for you and me. And I think if we always keep that in our minds, that Jesus did that for us, then it makes it that much easier to follow the call and do what we're called to do. So don't be a Jonah. Don't run the other way when God calls you. Run toward God. He sent His Son and paid that ultimate price for us so that we would have the ability to join Him in heaven one day and also have the ability to serve Him on this earth today. So if you need prayer, if you feel like a Jonah and you need somebody to pray and hold you accountable, I'd be glad to do that. If you just need prayer for any other reason, you can come forward during the song and we'll pray for you. And then when we're done, we'll close. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for just this time in Your house this morning. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your word. And we thank You for the encouragement it gives us in our walk to know, Lord, that even if we're a Jonah, even if we get it wrong, try and make it right, that You're a God of second chances, that You're a God that loves us so much that You sent Your Son for us to give us that chance at life. We thank You, Lord, for being in the house today.